You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We have been teaching on finances, biblical finance, what the Bible says about money, about prosperity. You know, God does want you to prosper. I know some people take it too far, and obviously you can take any truth to its extreme. You can lust after money. That'd be wrong. That's not what God teaches. He doesn't teach greed or lust, but He does bless us. He does prosper us. In fact, the promises are staggering when you look in the Bible about prosperity. You think of Solomon and all the riches that he had. Listen, riches didn't corrupt Solomon. God blessed him with those riches. What corrupted Solomon was, well, can I say, all those women, you know. God told him, no, you can't say that. God told him not to. In fact, in the law, it tells them not to multiply wives unto yourself as kings. The kings were not to do that. And that's exactly what he did do. And he made all these unholy alliances with countries and nations by marrying the king's daughter so they would have peace between them. But then he would let them bring in their gods and build temples even. It's amazing that he'd gotten that backslidden. And if you want to know how backslidden someone who was anointed and blessed by God can get, just go read Ecclesiastes. That is a book that was written by a man in a backslidden state. And it really is a mystery, you know, in the midst of the Bible books when you read it. But I believe it's there to show us, you know, what man in backslidden states, nothing's makes any sense, all is vanity. Well, sure it is. If you're not serving God, it makes no sense at all. And so there's an example of that. But the riches he had, God gave him. And kind of a theme of what I've been teaching and something I bring out over and over is the obvious point of that is this, that the richest man in the Bible was the wisest man in the Bible. There is a correlation. Amen? That God prospers us through wisdom. In fact, I already taught a message on that. That it is through wisdom that God begins to bless us. It's not the amount of money that we have that's our problem or the lack thereof. It is the management of the money. It's the way we're using our money or not using it. I believe that's always the problem. You give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. You teach him to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. So what we need is not a fix. Often we pray that way. God, get me out of this mess. Get this bill paid. Get me out. And you know, God does that. He's a merciful God, no question. But God wants you to get to the point where you don't keep getting in those fixes. Amen. God gives you wisdom to keep you out of those fixes. Yes. And to give you wisdom to prosper through the wisdom. Amen. You know, a couple things here. Would you rather have healing when you need it or not ever need it?
Amen.
I mean, that's divine health as opposed to divine healing. Wouldn't it be better just to walk in health, not have to get healed? Thank God I got healing when I need it. But I'd a whole lot rather not have to have hands laid on me to be healed.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
Would you rather have a financial fix when you got in a problem, a mess, and a crisis, or would you rather never get in the crisis to start with? Well, I'd rather not get in the crisis. Now, am I preaching you're never going to have another problem if you get all these principles? No, of course not. I mean, life's full of messes and problems and sucker punches, and you know, we live in a fallen world, and there's a lot of people involved, but I tell you, you can tip the scales in your favor. That's you can quit making so many mistakes yourself. And that's what the Bible teaches. Not just tithes and offerings. We'll get into that, and the Bible's going to, you know, address that, and we're going to address that out of the Bible. But the Bible has a lot to say about the money that you don't give. God's just as much concerned about the money you keep as he is the money that you give. He talks about budgeting, borrowing, co-signing, investing, saving, working.
Amen.
Amen? I know work sometimes is a four-letter word. But that actually is how God prospers us. Most of us work, and that's how the church buildings get built and how tithes and offerings come in through our jobs. That is a ministry. I mean, what I do is a work. It's a work of the ministry, as it were. If you're working on what we call quote-unquote secular job, you're important. You count. You're part of the ministry. Because of that, tithes come in, offerings come in, food banks get built and food's given out, and Hallelujah Night goes on, television goes on, buildings are built, people get saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost because there's air conditioning in here and there's Texas heat.
Amen.
So we're all in this thing together, and you working on that job, I don't care if you're digging a ditch or punching on a typewriter, or you know whatever it is that you do, or driving a truck. That's part of the ministry. You are a vital part of the kingdom of God, because work is God's plan. Work was not a curse. We mentioned this last week, because remember I did a 15-minute sermon last week? Come on, that was a milestone. I've never done that in my life. Y'all should have written that down and put it on the calendar. I figured that would be flashing behind me. Last week you did 15. Anyway, okay, we're not going to do 15 minutes today. Well, no, I take that back. We're going to do at least 15 minutes today. That's, yeah, every bit of 15 minutes. But last week, you know, we talked about work not being a curse. We kind of get that idea when you think about work. Well, you know, ever since Adam, work's been a curse. Well, work was not a curse before Adam sinned, and work was not a curse after he sinned. The ground was cursed. So what the Bible says, and it would not produce nothing but thorns and thistles. And incidentally, good news here, in Genesis 8 chapter, that curse was lifted off the ground in Noah's day. I will no longer curse the ground for man's sake, is what he says. And in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, turn there if you will, this is what we ended up with last week, he lists these blessings, and these blessings are all connected with your work. And they're connected with the ground, because that was the type of work that they did. In fact, it says here in the third verse, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country or the field, talking about whether you work in the city or whether you work in the field. And he says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessing, 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 blessings on that. Y'all see that? So we see some things here that God is blessing. It sure doesn't look like he's cursing the ground. It says here he's blessing the ground, and he's blessing the cattle, and he's blessing the flocks. Fifth verse, blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated or smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way. They will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Amen. Notice this, he's blessing what? Work. Yeah. Work is what God blesses. You know, we need to do something.
That's right.
Yeah, amen. Now I realize, you know, retirees or, you know, for physical reasons, there are people who can't work. There are things like that that come up. Maybe you're out of a job. Maybe you've been fired. But you know what? You need to make a job out of finding a job if that's the case, if you're able to find a job. Sometimes we think we're living by faith, but we're actually just living off someone else's faith.
Ooh, amen.
Now, I love you. You know that. I'm just trying to help you. But we got to stay with the Bible here. Listen, God blesses feet to prayers is what he blesses. He blesses action. He blesses your hand. It's not a matter of just saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm prosperous, I'm prosperous, I'm proper. God bless me. God supplies all my need according to riches of glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Woo. I believe all those scriptures now. But even Philippians 4:19, I just quoted, my God supply all my needs according to his glory by Christ Jesus. In context, Paul was talking to the church at Philippi who had given to his missionary efforts in supporting Jerusalem, and he turned around and says, my God will supply your needs because you've given.
Amen. Yes.
See, we often miss the context many times of promises. The Bible also tells us, Proverbs 14:23, that the talk of the lips tendeth only to poverty. At all labor, there is profit.
That's right.
Yeah. Woohoo! Oh, this is an exciting message, isn't it? I can tell y'all about to shout right now on the back of your chair. You know, and of course, I understand. I qualify this. You retire, you're living off the work that you've done. I understand that. Maybe you're disabled and can't work. I understand that. I'm not addressing that. We're talking about people that are able to work. You know, we have a food ministry. We help people that need help. You know, we're not in the business of passing out food. We're in the business of helping people that need help.
That's right.
When vision is lost, abuse is inevitable. Our vision is very plain. Our vision is to help people that need help. Our vision is not to pass out food. I thought y'all passed out food. Well, that's what exactly. We pass out a lot of food. But we're helping people that need help. That's what we're doing. Food is just That's what we do to help people.
Yes.
And we've talked about this over and over. We could just set up shop and say, everybody wants some food, come get it. No, we want everybody that needs food to come get it. So we have requirements, and we register people, and we make them fill out some forms. And some people like, some people don't like it. But you know what? We know that we're helping people that need help.
That's right.
We're helping people that really need help, that have fallen on tough times, hard times, and so on and so forth. And we're helping those. We know that food is going to people that really need help. You know, that's biblical. That's scriptural. In fact, the Bible tells you not to help people that can help themselves.
That's right.
Come on. Oh, that's in the Bible. But, you know, there we go again, quoting that thing again. Anyway.
Wow.
So it says here, still with me? Talk's cheap. You know, Proverbs 14:23, I quoted that if you're writing notes. I'm not going to turn to all these scriptures. If the talk of the lips only leads to poverty. We've got to do more than talk, and I believe in confession. I believe in confessing the Word. But I confess so I can act on it. I confess so I can do it. We ought to act on what we say. We ought to line our lip up with our life. Amen?
Amen.
God blesses the work of our hand. Eighth verse. He'll bless the Lord. He will command the blessing to you in your storehouse and all to which you set your hand. And he'll bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Notice the 12th verse. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to... Yes, come on with the rain.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Right here. Jesus' name. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand.
Amen.
And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful when Larry shows up at the food bank with all these extras that he gets out of the garden, you know, just all kinds of things he brings in. Cucumbers, I think, last week. And he's brought in watermelons and cantaloupes. And we donated 40-50 watermelons to some people we don't even know that went out there and got them in the middle of the night, but we don't know who they are. But anyway, it's wonderful, you know, when he's bringing in corn and all this stuff and bringing in, and we give it away, and people, isn't that nice, isn't that wonderful? But you know, somebody got out there, his name's Larry, and he dug rows, and he planted, and he watered, and he weeded, and come on. Thank you, Larry. Thank you. That's the work of somebody's hands. And we need not forget that, you know, that somebody paid for them. Somebody worked. Somebody, and we should do the same thing. That's what God blesses. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. Now, you can go crazy with it. I know some people, you know, just work all the time, and that's not the will of God. God set up a six-day work week, as it were. We work 4 or 5 days, you know. But God wants you to take a day to honor him. Exodus 34 tells us that 6 days men ought to work and rest the seventh. God himself did the same thing. Made the earth 6 days and rested the seventh. It's not God's will that you stay up all night.
That's right.
In fact, Psalms 127, verse 3, it says it's vain, you know, to rise up early, stay up all night, eat the bread of sorrows, for God gives his beloved sleep. So it's not God's will that you work 24 hours a day. Come on, we're not talking about getting crazy, but you ought to work some of the day. Hello.
That's right.
Okay. Hallelujah. So work's a good thing. You know, you say, well, what's this all got to do with church? Well, all I'm doing is quoting scriptures. That's all I've done since I started, okay? This is Bible. This is God's will for our life. It's a wonderful thing. We often think we're just cursed to have to go to work. Listen, we all thank God we have a job.
Yes.
And if we don't have a job, believe God for one, because it's his will that we have one. And I don't care what the economy says, and I don't care what the newspaper says. I don't care what the talk shows say about what's going on in this country. If I believe God and stand on the word, God will make a way for me to get a job.
Yes.
Don't you buy that lie. Don't you get that? Well, I just can't find any. Hey, put some faith behind it. Get the word out. This is God's will that you go to work.
Yes.
Believe, trust God. Get out there every day and look for a job and pray and say, God, give me favor today. Lord, give me wisdom today. Connect me with the right job today. I'm going to go to work because that's your will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put some faith behind it. Amen. And then when you get that job, get on that job and thank God for it and be the best worker that you could ever be. Or if you own a company, be the best employer you could ever be. Show up on time. Do what you say. Work hard. Be a witness.
Yes.
That's a witness. Are you with me?
Yes.
Be a witness. Dependable. That's being a witness, see? If you're working for a company, listen, if you're working for a company, we are Christians, we're believers here, okay? They are paying you money. Hard-earned money. They've made that money. They've made that company. Don't fall in that trap of being one of those who criticizes the boss and criticizes the company and all that. If that company wasn't there, you wouldn't have that job.
That's right.
Exactly. Maybe everything's not just right. You say, well, they just abuse people. Well, they got you a job. Maybe there could be some improvement, but, you know, it's not all about me. Somebody made this, the company was built by somebody. Somebody worked to make it happen. Yeah. Pray for your boss. Pray for your company. You ever thought about that? There's a new concept.
Wow. Amen.
Wow. Pray for your job. Pray for your boss. Pray for those over you. Yes. But you go there and you work as unto the Lord.
That's right.
As if you were employed by God.
Yes.
And be on time. Be dependable. Yes. Do everything you're hired to do.
Yes.
That you truthfully told that boss you would do. You filled out the resume. I know that's the only time we're ever perfect is when we fill out a resume. But you told them, y'all had an agreement, you'd come at a certain time, you'd do a certain job, and you'd leave at a certain time. Now, if you don't do that, you've lied to that person.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, anyway. And I know I'm preaching to people love work, love God, and love to do work. We're blessed in this church. We're believing with you that get jobs and get better jobs. We're believing you get raises and promotions. We are believing that. But we're believing you're going to do the best you can do while you're on that job too. That's God's will. That's how prosperity comes. Well, I wish God blessed me. Well, do everything you can do. Be the best employee you can be. Amen? Turn to 1 Timothy 5. Is this helping you?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful.
You know, I think about it, even pastoring. Pastoring is more than a pulpit and a Bible. Are you kidding me? I'm so glad to be a pastor. I never had to work another day of my life. I remember when Jonathan was in elementary school and they had show and tell or something, you know, where they all talked about their parents. Well, my parent, my daddy, you know, he does this, and my mama, she does this, and my dad. They got to Jonathan, they said, oh, my dad doesn't have a job. He's a preacher. I don't know where he got that, but he only told them that one time. That's all I know, because we heard about that. But no, I mean, even pastoring, you know, this thing just doesn't happen. There's people put a lot of work into this church. I put a lot of work in. I put a lot of hands-on work. Still do. Doesn't bother me. Are you with me? That's what God blesses.
Amen.
We talk about the food bank. We went out there and built a couple rooms for the food bank, and Ted and Bobby and I guess it's Ted, Bobby, and I, whoever else, Robert, I think. Robert's gone, but did some wiring. But we got out there, and we worked and hung sheetrock, built walls, hung sheetrock, painted it, got it ready, put in lights, and Michael did the air conditioning on the thing. You know, there's some hands-on labor that, you know, people coming through were feeding. There's a lot that went on in that process. This building, you know, we all built this building. We volunteer built it. We had the metal put up, but we built all the inside, put all the sheetrock up, painted all the, you know, textured and painted everything, hung lights, did all kinds of stuff. Worked for months and months on this build. Saved thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars on this building. So people get saved.
Right.
See, because that was always why we do what we do. The vision is what puts meaning to the menial task. I mean, putting dirt in bags kind of get boring after a while. But if you knew there was a flood coming, you're building a dike or a dam or something, all of a sudden, dirt in bags has meaning.
Yes.
Amen.
Make sense?
Amen.
You got to have vision. You have to realize why you do what you do. And that's what we lose sight of. People lose sight of vision. They don't know why they're doing what they're doing. Well, listen, we're out there working so we can have money to give so people can get saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost, miss hell and go to heaven. And I'll tell you, if I don't care if I'm digging a ditch or whatever it is I'm doing it for that reason, so that people can come to Jesus. Whatever job you're working on, that's it. Because without your tithes and your offerings, this doesn't happen.
That's right.
You've got to realize that. I was talking to a guy that was digging a ditch out here. He had brought his machine out, and we were putting in the water line for the gym. And he was so disappointed. He's a Christian. He was so disappointed. He says, man, I just don't feel like my life's going anywhere. He says, here I'm out here. He says, I just feel like I should be ministering or teaching or something. I'm out here digging a ditch. I said, oh, really? He says, yeah, I'm just out here digging this ditch and putting this pipe in. And so I was out there with him, you know, and so I said, let me tell you something. He didn't go to our church, he goes to another church, good guy. I said, let me tell you something about this ditch you're digging right here. And I began to explain to him, this pipe is going to have water in it. Of course, he's looking at me kind of funny. It's going to water and it's going to go out to that big building out there. And out in that big building, we're going to be having services and concerts and all kinds of youth gatherings. And people are going to get in there, they're going to get saved, they're going to go to heaven because you're digging this ditch. Hello.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. Yeah.
And you're not worth anything and you're just wasting your life away. No, you're not wasting your life away. I appreciate you digging this ditch. And it changed everything. I mean, he saw it from a total different perspective. He's like, yeah, that's right, that's right. See, we don't see value in what we do because we don't see the result of what we do.
Amen.
We're very, very short-sighted. And work has always been God's plan.
Amen.
It's His plan for you. It's His plan for me. And it's how tithes and offerings come in. It's how people get saved and healed and buildings get built. It's awesome stuff.
Amen.
Awesome stuff. And you're supposed to do it. 1 Timothy, have you found it? Man, this is good preaching.
Amen.
Woo! You know, I love Thomas Edison said something pretty profound. He said, you know, most people, he said, believe that they'll wake up one day and find themselves rich. He said, actually, they've got it half right, because we all do eventually wake up.
Wow. Amen.
1 Timothy.
Wow.
Yeah, y'all have to write that one down for sure. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever or an infidel. Wow. Goodness. Man, I didn't say that. God said that. Okay, can y'all please get me off that list you're starting to write right now? This is what God said. It's God's will that we do take care of our own. You know what's wrong with this government? They shouldn't be doing what all they're doing. That's the problem.
Right.
They're trying to get their hands into everything that's going on in the world, and it's not their job. That is not the government's job. We should be taking care of our own. The church should be taking that care of communities. And for years, the church did. Honestly, the church took care of communities for years. They were the place that people went to get fed, get helped, and so on. But see, now that's just been pushed aside in the government. Now everybody goes to the government. And so nobody looks to God, and nobody calls out on God, and nobody gets right with God, and nobody...
Oh, my, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
But I think it's where we begin to shirk our responsibilities.
Yeah.
Then others have come in and filled the gap, and you see morally where it has taken us and taken our country. Mm-hmm. People don't look to God for help now. They don't look to... getting right with God. Nobody prays with them when they go to the government. When they get the welfare check, they don't pray with them.
That's right.
See, we pray for everybody who comes through their food bank. They get registered first. They have to meet all kinds of requirements, and we take their picture and start a file on them. And they have to live locally in our county and so on and so forth. And when they get through that, then we let them through another door, and they walk into this other door. There's another little room, and there's Frank. Frank's sitting there and says, have a seat. What can I pray with you about? And we pray for everybody that comes through. And then when they get through praying, he opens the door and lets them out into the warehouse where the food is. And there's a bunch of ladies and people standing around tables and saying, God bless you, and we love you, and we're for you, we're praying for you. And so they get food and walk away and know that it was God that did that.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's good stuff. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. And we are supposed to take care of our own household. In fact, it's part of the faith. I love that because he says you're denied the faith if you don't do that. And worse than an unbeliever. Wow. That's strong stuff, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
See, my potential is God's gift to me, but what I do with my potential is my gift to Him.
Amen.
Wow. He's given me great potential, but that's His gift. But my gift is what I do, you know, what I do with the gift. That's my gift to Him. Hallelujah. All right, turn to, this helping you?
Yes.
Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Work. Boy, it's good stuff. Work is good stuff. Now, don't take this hard. I mean, don't you? In fact, if you're out of work, my goodness, I'm for you. I'm praying for you. I'm believing with you, get a job and Find a good one. Don't you feel condemned because you don't have one? Because listen, we all fall on hard times. It's no sin to be poor, and it's no sin to be out of a job. I think the sin is to want to stay poor and not try to get another job. That's the sin. It's no sin to be down, but it's a sin not to try to get up. So don't beat yourself over the head because things are going wrong. Listen, we live in a broken, fallen world. I understand that. I've had hard times hit me, and I've fallen on hard times. How about you?
Amen.
Come on. So we're not pointing any fingers. We're for you. Goodness, we've been there ourselves. I got no stones to throw. And it's not a sin. Well, I don't have anything. He's getting on my case. No, not at all. Goodness, I've been there. But if you say, there's nothing I can do and I'm going to be this the rest of your life, yeah, I am getting on your case. Because that you're starting to get in sin now. I love you. Now stay with me. Because I'm here to tell you, you can come out of what you're in. You can rise above the fray. You can win. Hallelujah. But you're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to believe God and take some steps. Get somebody to help you if you need to. We'll help you. We'll pray with you. We'll assist you if we can, you know. Get you going. Get you started again. But don't stay where you are. It's not a sin to be sick, but I believe it's a sin to want to stay sick. Y'all catching it? There's a difference. Okay. Now, 2 Timothy. In fact, I was thinking of another quote. God creates all people natural gifts, but He also makes them with two ends. One to sit on, one to think with. Success in life is dependent on which one of these ends is used the most. It's a toss-up. Heads you win, tails you lose. Okay. 2 Thessalonians.
Wow.
Got a slow reaction on some of them, y'all. My God. Okay.
That's good.
2 Thessalonians. Notice what it says in the 6th verse. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he has received from us. Now that's interesting, because he says walks disorderly. He doesn't explain what that is in that verse. He does later. But he says you ought to withdraw your fellowship. Don't hang around people that are walking disorderly and not according to the tradition which you've received from us. That's interesting. Let's go on a little further. What is that disorderly? What does that mean?
Wow.
7th verse. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. There it is again. We were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but work with labor and toil night and day.
Amen.
That we might not be a burden to any of you. Now, Paul took offerings, there's no question. But in this case, where he went and ministered in Thessalonica, he was trying to minister to them. It was a new work. And, you know, in cases like that, you do what you can. I've worked myself and ministered, you know. I have had all those kids and we didn't have enough money coming in to feed the kids, and I could sit here and just blast everybody and tell all y'all to go empty your bank accounts and savings accounts and sell your houses so I could have money to feed my kids, but I know you were struggling too. Church was struggling, I was struggling, so I went to work, worked a while, and you know, did that for a few years because I have responsibility. If I don't provide for my household, I'm worse than infidel. I've denied the faith. Now, how would you like a pastor up here that denies the faith? Doesn't bode too well. So, you know, the times were tough at that time, and the church was small at that time, and the money wasn't there at that time. So I went to work, and that didn't bother me at all. I did it. Thank God for the job and so on and so forth. Well, Paul was working here, starting a new work. He built tents, and it says he didn't eat anyone's bread free of charge, but work with labor, toil night and day, that he might not be a burden to any of them. Not because we do not have authority. Notice this. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Love that. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat.
That's right. Amen.
Wow. Y'all see that? So everybody that comes by and wants something, you should give it to them. Well, no. No, it says here, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. I believe we ought to help those that need help. But can we not ask them, do you have a job? Can we not ask them, are you able to get a job? Can we not ask them, have you tried to get a job? Wouldn't that be better anyway if they could get a job and we could help them get one? Wouldn't that be better than us just giving them some food?
Amen.
We wouldn't want them to be dependent on us. We'd like for them to get independent.
That's right.
And dependent on God, of course, you know. So walking disorderly here would be not working at all. Man. That's good stuff, because you know what? Somebody asks if I'm serving God. Well, there's a lot of things I do serving God. But if I'm working on a job, that's part of serving God right there.
Sure.
Are you in the faith? Well, do you have a job? You're working? Yeah, I do work. I work and tithe. Well, you must be in the faith because God tells you to work, and working or faith is just doing what God says to do. Isn't that correct? So if you're obeying God, then you're in faith.
Sure.
Man, you're more in faith than you thought you were. Are you with me? Trying to pursue a job, maybe you don't have one, but you're trying to get one. You're doing your best to get in the will of God here. So that's part of serving God. That is part of serving the Lord. We don't just sit around the house and pray all day long. We work, because that's part of what He tells us to do. Man, y'all are getting excited about this message.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is it helping anybody?
Yes.
You know, Shakespeare says he's not worthy of the honeycomb that shuns the hive because the bees have stings. I think that's it. We don't want to, you know, the sacrifice. We don't want to get, you know, our hands dirty or sweat, as it were. Who was that said? I believe Mark Twain said, we miss most opportunities because they're dressed up in overalls and they look like work.
Amen.
And I think that's probably true in life. We miss a lot of them because we're not willing to, you know, to put our hand to the plow. So it says this, 11th verse, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies.
Wow.
Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Get that? Not somebody else's. In other words, that they live off their own faith and not somebody else's faith. You hear somebody who says, I'm just living my faith. Living my faith. Oh, you're working? No, I don't work at all. Just living my faith. What did you eat last week? Well, I went over so-and-so's house and ate over there last week.
Wow.
Tonight I'm going over somebody else's house and eat over there. Sound like you're living off their faith. Okay, so now listen, I know we all fall on hard times. And sometimes, you know, we're getting on our feet, and I understand that. That's fine. Put it in context. We're sure not talking about people disabled, people trying to get back on their feet and getting straightened out, and so on and so forth. People that are retired, and there are reasons for all that. But we're talking about, okay, now we're squared away. We're right. Everything's going good. Mr. Bluebird's on our shoulder. We're singing zippity doo dah, zippity yay. You know, my oh my, what a wonderful day. Let's get a job. Let's go to work. Let's believe God for a job. Let's believe God for favor. Amen. Let's get to rolling here and get to be a part of the answer instead of part of the problem. Let's be productive. Let's add to instead of take away. Because there are people out there that really do need help, and they need you to work so you can bring in money to help and bless them.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
There really are. And you know, there are pastors in ministry, and there are churches that need to be supporting ministry. Think about it. Listen, I need to be full-time here. I don't need to be working on another job. This church is too large and we're doing way too much for me to work on a quote-unquote secular job. I work very hard at this job.
Amen.
And I need to be full-time. And I need your offerings. This is not a pull. I'm not going to receive an offering when I get through. Y'all do well, and thank you for your gifts and your offerings. But that's the way it should be, because I work in the Word and I labor in the field of the Lord. That's what I do.
Amen.
And because you're working hard and you got a good job, I'm free to study, and I'm free to hear God and branch out on all these other ministries and areas, and that's a wonderful thing, and thank you for that. Thank you for working on that job. Thank you for getting up Monday morning and paying that price so this town will have a voice and have this church and have us in all that we do. I tell you, work's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing from God. It's not a curse. It is a blessing. And if you got a job, you ought to thank God that you're part of that big, huge kingdom. And you're a part of this process called work. Work is God's number one way to prosper you.